When I look back throughout my entire life, I saw that God was there, that his presence was in my life in every single circumstance, and I really thought that it was amazing and very encouraging. If you're new here, we've been going through a summer series on a series of topics called spiritual disciplines, and we've been looking at different habits where we can grow in our faith, different rhythms and different disciplines we can have in our life. And we've been using the Olympic theme based upon 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. And we were looking, and so whenever I've been able to find a testimony from an Olympian that kind of goes along with the theme, I've been playing it. And today, we're going to look about the spiritual discipline of God's omnipresence, or remembering that he is present. So with that, I've kind of asked Van to share with us. Van's been here before, so everyone give him a round of applause. Say hi, Van. Okay, come on. Hi, Van.
Hi.
All right. If you want to know the connection, Van just lives that way.
Yeah.
That's the connection, yeah. He's also he also served a prairie for a while, and he was my youth pastor back in Surrey. So everything good and bad about me, you can blame him.
Right on.
All right. So, hey, I just want to, let me pray for you, Van, and we'll get started. Father, thank you for today, and we pray you would speak to us through the word. Thank you that Van has been able to be here. And we pray for open hearts. You would speak to us and wherever we're at today. In Jesus' name, everybody said.
Amen, yeah. Take your cup down. Just leaving it all over the place. Okay. Maybe I'll put this here. Make a little room. Well, good morning to you. Yeah, I've done some thinking about this in the past. In fact, a number of years back, I taught a prayer course at Prairie. Let me see if Christine's around here somewhere. There she is, back there. She was in the class, so I just wanted to say, I'm sure you've been reading over your notes regularly since then, and I appreciate that, but just want to say, can you stay awake today? Thanks, yeah. Okay, today is going to seem a little bit like, you know, those Instagram or YouTube commercials where the person comes on and they tell you, did I have my mic on? Just making sure. Yeah. You know, they tell you about the exercise program that you need to learn about, and then they give you, and so you have to click, and then you start watching, you have to watch for a while, and they say the same thing over and over again, different ways for a while, and then eventually they get to the point at the end where they say, and now you've got it, except if you really want to make it easy, you really want to make it doable, then click here and you can buy my products, right? So it's going to feel a little bit like that this morning, because at the end I am going to talk about something that you actually do have to pay for, but as it's not really part of the message. So if you're not paying attention, you might think I've sort of switched into sales mode. But what happens is I'm allowed to talk about CARN, the Kneehill Addiction Recovery Network. When I come here, I'm choosing to do it at the end, whether you're awake or asleep by then, and just let you know some information about that at the end. So just so you know. Today we're going to talk about keeping in practice. And the practice that we want to talk about is practicing the presence of God. And I want to show you, we got a very simple three-point sermon there. And since I'm going as old school as I can, I'm going to do this old school joke, see if you guys know it. What does it mean when a pastor puts his watch up on the pulpit? Exactly. All right. Just making sure you got that. Okay. So, so the sermon outline is the significance of the presence of God, the fact of the presence of God, and the practice of the presence of God. So, we're going to begin with the significance of the presence of God, and we're thinking about. Let me see if we got. See if I know how to use this thing. Am I good? I'm good. Okay, so that's where we're at, is on the significance of the presence of God. And
when we think about that, we're thinking about sort of the manifest presence of God, or what is often sought in Scripture is this idea, this longing for some indication that God is really with us. You know, a pillar of fire, a pillar of cloud, the fleece, what's this fleece telling me? You know, all these different ways that in Scripture people have said, you know, I want to know that God is with me. Well, we know we begin in Genesis 3, and it says, the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And there's all kinds of things we can talk about from this passage, but what I just want to highlight is that the original state of humanity was to have access to the presence of God. That's kind of the way it was all set originally. And we know, obviously, that things didn't go well. They're hiding from him. They're separated from him. But still, within Scripture, we see different places. Look at Genesis 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. And so one of the things we note as we look in Scripture is people are starting to ask this question, you know, is God present with me? The presence of God, when we recognize the presence of God, we can have a change in our attitude, in our perspective, in our emotions, right? Do not be afraid, I am with you, right? I am present. And then again, I'll move to another spot. I'm just moving through a few places in Scripture to get the idea of the presence of God. The significance is what we're talking about now. So as Moses stands before the burning bush and he's given his mandate, he struggles. And he says, but God, or Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And so he's struggling with his ability, his awareness of, he knows his weaknesses and he's trying to figure out, how am I actually going to pull this off? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Just from this, I want to pull again the significance of the presence of God is that if we intend to accomplish what God wants for us, no matter how intimidating, we can do it when God is in it, when God is present. Now, however, we also know that the experience of the true experience or manifestation of God's presence in our life is blocked in humanity, sometimes by sin, and sometimes it's blocked for our sake. For if God was fully present with us in our sin, we would be undone. So, but this idea is in Scripture in, there we go. Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. The Lord, so that's one part. The next I'm going to show from another place, Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but hears the prayers of the righteous. So this idea that there's a barrier, that not all is well, and we know that, right? There's a barrier between us and the presence. But what is it that we're seeking? I believe that Zephaniah 3:17 is really the picture of what it is, the significance, what it can look like when the presence of God is with us. The Lord your God, it says, is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you. That is, our sin is no longer an issue for him, but will rejoice over you with singing. The presence of God, so near, so close, and also in delight of us. The practical significance of this is unbelievable. It's like Scott Hamilton says after he's come through testicular cancer, he's two bouts of brain cancer, wondering if he can have children, or if he would even live, right? God is there to get you through the tough times. God was there every single time. And he said that having a strong relationship with Jesus was that thing that really allowed him to endure anything. So that's, but even more, what is the significance? What is the significance of the presence of God? Is our God here delighting in us, rejoicing over us? If you have accepted Christ today, you need to know God is present and he is rejoicing over you. He is delighting in you. And though your heart may argue with that sometimes, it doesn't change. That is the truth. That is the reality. So the barrier is what we want to see removed, obviously, and that's through Christ. But that's the true life-altering significance of the presence of God. It's essentially what takes place in us as you and I experience the presence of God. So I'm gonna go now to the fact of the presence of God. So the significance is that it changes the way we feel, it changes the way we think, it allows us to accomplish anything he has for us. It also allows us to know who we are, beloved children of God. Now we move to the fact of the presence of God, and I think this is basically the doctrine of omnipresence. You don't need to go to sleep, it won't be that long. But it's the fact that God is available at any place in the universe and present at every place. God says of himself in Jeremiah, "Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord? Am I not a God far away? Do I need somebody else to go do my work for me? I can get it done there or here." Who can hide in the secret places so that I cannot see them, right? Sam Spade, trying to find that place, declares the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth? So, again, where can I go from your spirit? Psalm 139. Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. So God's presence is at once terrible for anyone who's trying to flee, and remarkable and reliable for anyone who's wanting God to be there for them. The point is, the fact of the presence of God can lead to the experience of the presence of God anywhere in the universe. So, we have the significance of God, which is great, and now we're learning here about the fact of the presence. I know these letters might be small for some of our eyes. I'll read it to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, this is Acts 17, is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples made by human hands, and he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. This is huge. The whole order of the placement of people on the planet Earth throughout history, the where they have been and the when they have been, is all planned specifically so they might be able to reach out and to seek him and to find him. Those who would be willing are placed in that place where they could find him somehow. I don't know how that all works, but that's what God says. The fact of the presence of God can lead us to the experience of the presence of God for those who seek him. But what about the barrier? The sin. The evil that separates us. God is present. And the only barrier is our sin. So, but in Christ, you and I know that that barrier has been removed. The veil between us and God is torn. Hebrews puts it this way, verse 14. Therefore, since... Wait a minute. I'm just... 16 is on the screen for you. I'll read 14 and 15. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's telling us that you and I can enter the presence of God, and we can do so with confidence. So, that's the gospel. But what positive difference does the fact of God's presence have on our daily walk? What positive difference does the fact of God's presence generally have on our daily walk? And my experience is roughly none. Zero. That is to say, just knowing God is, in fact, there, has no real effect. Let me explain it this way. What effect does the knowledge that my wife is in the room with me have on my relationship? The fact that I know she's there? Almost none. If I don't acknowledge her, if I don't talk to her, if I don't interact with her. In fact, it seems to me that the longer I have head knowledge that she's there and neglect to talk to her, neglect to interact with her, the worse my relationship with her is going to be. So that's why I want to talk today about the practice of the presence of God. So, there's an author I'm going to talk about in a minute who has coined this phrase, the practice of the presence of God, and he says this. Let me get my little thing there. There we go. That's not what he says. Never mind. He says this: there's no mode of life in the world more pleasing and more full of delight than continual conversation with God. No mode of life in the world more pleasing and more delight, more full of delight than continual conversation with God. That, my friends, is what I want for each of us here today. That's what I want for all of us, including myself. Another author has said that this practice will take all of your time, yet it will not take it from any good activity. This practice takes up all of your time, but doesn't take your time from any good activity. Hold up. Before we go any further, I have something I want to talk about. I want to talk about the idea of distraction. This generation has been called the most distracted generation in history. And I rather think that that applies to all of us alive at this time and not just the millennials. Wouldn't you agree, Dan? Okay, so, however, whatever, depending on what we mean by distraction, I think it could be overstated. Dan, right?
Amen.
Okay.
Good job.
Thank you. Thank you. The most distracted generation in history. So I think it can be overstated because let's look at this. No, let's not look at that. Let's look at this and this. Here we go. In Scripture, it encourages us that we should rejoice in the Lord always. that we should pray continually. And that doesn't necessarily actually mean every second. That word continually could mean regularly, kind of like not the way Christina's continually going over my notes, but just kind of a regular going back to it, that kind of thing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus, in all circumstances. So what is God driving at? What's he trying to say? Where is he going with this verse? Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. That's from Ephesians, and a great, great verse. See, Jesus talked about this promised Holy Spirit, and I love Ephesians. Such a great book. Ephesians 1:13 says this, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, the promised Holy Spirit. And this is great because it's the seal that guarantees our inheritance, but sometimes that's all we treat him as this seal that sort of says one day we'll be in heaven. But that's not what the promised Holy Spirit was about. If you read, John 14, 15, 16, Jesus says what the Spirit is going to do. He's going to lead us. He's going to teach us. He's going to be there for us. And, he's going to be this advocate for us. He's going to be this one who comes alongside us. It's in Ephesians there, it says a little bit later in verse 18, the reason he prays that we would have the Holy Spirit working in us so that we would know him better, so we'd know God better. It says in Ephesians 2:6 that we are seated with him in the heavenly realms, that we have this current connection with God that is very deep and spiritual. And through him, chapter 2, verse 18, it says, through him we have access to the Father by one Spirit. All of us have access to God through the Spirit. It says in chapter 2, verse 22 of Ephesians, that we are a dwelling in which God lives. The truth is that God is here with us, that God is here in us, and that's for a reason. It's not just for heaven. It is for now. And I believe sometimes we're choosing distraction. Sometimes we're just distracted from that idea of distraction. So that's why the idea of practicing the presence was even necessary in a monastery in the 17th century. Distraction is nothing new. There weren't any smartphones then in the 1600s, but Brother Lawrence, who wrote the book The Practice of the Presence of God, realized that he was not paying attention to the fact that God was there. And so he started this spiritual exercise, this discipline of trying to recognize that God is there. And I'm going to read it to you from his own words, from that book, so that you can see what he's talking about and know that it's not some wacky, strange thing here. He says, first, I renounce everything. It all consists in one hearty renunciation of everything which we are sensible does not lead to God. Just renounce that which you know doesn't lead to God. Then he says, we might accustom ourselves to continual conversation with him in freedom and simplicity. Then he says that we need to only recognize God intimately present with us to address ourselves to him every moment, that we may beg his assistance for knowing his will in things doubtful. So if I don't know, I'm asking God, what is your will here? And then also his assistance for rightly doing that thing, performing those things which we plainly see he requires of us. Then it says, offering them before him, before we do them. So you've thought of this thing that you believe God wants you to do, and then you say, God, I want to give this to you. Then you do it, and then after you do it, then you say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for allowing that to go well, to succeed. Thanks when we've done. Then he says that in conversation with God, We're also employed in praising God, adoring God, and loving God incessantly, continually, for his infinite goodness and perfection. He says elsewhere, I renounce for the love of God everything that was not God, that was not he, and began to live as if there was none but he and I in the world. That is obviously a little hard to do, but the truth is, we are living with people, we're connected with people all the time, but that doesn't mean that we are not aware of other people's presence. When I'm talking to a friend, I'm still aware of the presence of somebody else who's maybe waiting to talk or listening, or I'm still aware. And then he says this, it's behind my head on there, so I'll read it to you. It says, I worshipped him as oftenest, that's the way they used to say often, as I could, keeping in mind his holy presence and recalling it, he says, my mind. Recalling my mind to his presence as often as I found that I wandered from him. I found no small pain in this exercise. So he's saying it's not easy, and yet I continued, notwithstanding all the difficulties that occurred, without troubling or disquieting myself. This, I think, is very important. When my mind had wandered involuntarily. So he would just be like, oh, I forgot. I haven't been thinking about God for a while. And it wasn't like he would be down on himself. It would just be, oh, let's get back to this. Thank you, God. And he would just keep going with it. I made this my business as much all the day long as at the appointed times of prayer. So he's in a monastery. He's got like seven times a day. He's going off to pray. But he's doing this in between those times as well. At every hour, every minute, even in the height of my business, which, you know, he did a lot of different work. He talks about, you know, washing the dishes and just using that time just to continually talk to God. I drove away from my mind everything that was capable of interrupting my thought of God. So there, you know, there are some things that are really going to distract us from God. We're going to realize they really are things I need out of my life. So if we think about distraction this way, okay, then every generation is distracted. Anything can be a distraction. Some things obviously are more distractions than others. But what can we use as ways to remind us, to bring us back into line? So what I'm just going to give a few different areas of life where we can sort of establish markers in our own mind. It'll be different for all of us, I'm sure. But I have been using, in driving, what I've been using is birds flying in front of me. I'm trying to let their risk, their sacrifice, not be in vain. But every time a bird flies in front of me and almost, you know, kills itself on my windshield or my grill, I stop and go, oh, right, God is present. God, thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for being with me today. Thank you for life. Thank you for whatever. And just begin talking to God again. Because when you're driving, you get distracted from everything. You can be driving along and then get somewhere and realize you drove for 10 minutes and you don't even remember driving. You're distracted from everything. So we can be lost in thought. But this is a way I'm using to remind, and you know, twice on the way here, this happened. And I only live like 3 minutes away. Birds were in front of the car and walking across or flying in front of. And so I'm using that as a marker, just as a way. But what could you use while you're driving or while you're walking or biking or whatever it is you use? I forgot it. My wife gave me this pocket knife from Switzerland, and it was, she was asking me the other day where it was, and I couldn't find it, and she's like, it's a pocket knife, right? It should be in your pocket. So I'm starting to put it in my pocket. Sorry, it's not there today, but what I'm going to be doing is every time I notice that it's in my pocket, because I'm not a guy who's carried a knife my whole life, so I'm going to notice this thing. And every time I notice it, I'm going to be reminded that am I thinking about the presence of God right now? Am I remembering the fact that I am in his presence? Because we don't actually experience the significance of the presence of God unless we recognize the presence of God, unless we interact with God, unless we speak with God, unless we ask God for things or praise God or talk to God. And so it changes our relationship with God. What about at work? We can be distracted by our work and so focused and unaware of why we're doing what we're doing. But we're supposed to do all things as if we do them for Christ. And so how much easier is that if we are actually talking to Christ about our work while we're working and asking him for whatever benefit he wants to make a part of our work? So what could be, a way of calling your mind back to Christ at work? Now this one, I'm going to just say, Dan, very likely they will not let you ask me back after I give this illustration. But anyway, just so you know, I'm going to use swearing as an illustration here. See, this is something that I have fought now, I think, for almost, is it 40 years? 40 years to live up to Colossians 3:8 and let no filthy language from your lips. And I have publicly been successful, you'll be happy to know this morning, that I'm not going to swear for you. But in the privacy of my own garage and my own mind, if my hands fail to perform as I've planned for them, then it's just basically, wait a minute, where'd it go? I lost my, there it is, that was my swear word. It was supposed to come up and you're all supposed to laugh, and it didn't work. Sorry. Okay, so, yeah, who wants to know? So, look, don't get me wrong. I seek to continue to find out, Lord, what is the best way to overcome this reality that was ingrained in my mind as a child and has just, I've never been able to lose it. So I use it. Every time a word like that comes to my mind, I stop, I acknowledge I am not alone. I'm in the presence of God right now. And I take up my conversation with him then and there. Apologize or confess and move on. But maybe you can think of something better for your own work life. That, you know, what happens in your own work life that randomly happens that you could use to remind you that am I actually abiding in Christ or am I actually abiding in the presence of God? So think of it right now. In your work or school or whatever, what are the things that sort of happen every once in a while that come out of the blue and you can turn that into a marker to remind you, am I in fact remembering the fact that I am? You see, the people of God will make a greater difference if they are continually aware that they are in the presence of God. And I really think that this is important, that we've allowed ourselves to be distracted from the ultimate reality of God's presence for far too long. So what happens at work that you can use to make it a marker? What happens at play, like entertainment time, okay? What can you use during your favorite hobby or your favorite game or your favorite television show? And I know I'm meddling now. But why not actually keep in practice of the presence of God and say, you know, maybe make a mental mark in your mind related to your play, something there that as that happens, you'll be like, oh yeah, like, you know, I spilled glue, or whatever it is that happens in your world of hobby or play. It's interesting, commercials. Many of us will pay to remove distractions. It used to be just a constant, that was just the way it was, but now you can pay more and you will not have distractions from your playtime. And if we could just be that committed to remembering the presence of God. Maybe there's something you can find as you're going through this in play or in work or in transit. You're thinking of things and you're finding things that you're aware of, that you are participating in, that you can't be aware of the presence of God at the same time as you are involved in whatever it is or doing whatever it is. If you're finding that, one of them needs to go, and I'm going to ask you to make the right call on that, is remembering God is present with you more important than whatever it is that you can't do while at the same time. And so obviously you need to choose the Lord in that. So, you know, think of markers for these things, and at rest as well. What are the things that you might be reminded of? I would say crickets, but man, I mean, they are way too constant. They're not random enough for you. Just you will totally lose your mind if you try and do that. But anyway, have you been hearing crickets lately? I have. Yeah. So just want to make sure they're really there. Anyway, my point is, there is an alternative. There's an alternative simply living, dwelling, or abiding in this world and being filled with its distractions. I feel that Jesus has called us to live, to dwell, and to abide in Him and to be filled with His Spirit. And so the pathway to this is going to have to be some way of reminding ourselves of the truth that He is with us. And that's the exercise part of it. Recalling ourselves to this, it may take many approaches. And I think Brother Lawrence outlined a great overview of kind of what we're shooting for. But this is nothing new. As one author put it, it's a way of living which nearly everybody knows and nearly everybody has ignored. Why would we avoid or ignore God's presence? Why would we do that? Could it be that we prefer our own company? Sometimes we prefer to be alone and maybe just to be the one with the remote, a figure of speech, the one in control. There's no mode of life in the world more pleasing and more full of delight than continual conversation with God. And it's time well spent that doesn't take you away from any good thing. Now, message is almost completely done here. I'm going to turn to a little bit of a Carn connection. So why I warned you, because the transition is so smooth, you would have missed it. Okay, so does this have anything to do with addiction, what I'm talking about today? Addiction is the constant escaping or numbing of pain. It's essentially distraction becomes life. I found pornography at the age of 6. Later, in early years as a believer, an addiction to sexual fantasy and unwanted sexual behaviors, that was my bane. I found that every week in church, I was reminded of the grace and the presence of God, and I went through an emotional reset and commitment to do better next week. Developing a daily prayer time and a daily scripture reading time or quiet time helped somewhat as I was discipled to do that. However, it wasn't until I read Practicing the Presence of God as an assignment in history of the church in college that I found out that abiding in Christ can well be a matter of choice all of the time, and that it's a spiritual discipline that we all need desperately. Don't get me wrong. There are other things a person struggling with addiction is going to need to find freedom. But I tell you that practicing the presence of God is going to give you the greatest shot at being able to do those things. You know what? I have not been great at this discipline. But since I began this in college, even at my worst of times, and I've had pretty bad times, I still do not go probably more than a half an hour without acknowledging the presence of God. And that has been critical in overcoming addiction for me. So, just a personal testimony there. It's actually interesting. It says it right in Ephesians. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, which is kind of checking out on your moral view of life, but instead be filled with the Spirit. I don't know, maybe you're struggling with something or you're numbing yourself in some way. I just want to say this morning, there's an alternative to that. And I think that it really can start with an uncomplicated, simple spiritual discipline of recognizing that God is with you all of the time. Now, I'm going to move on to an advertisement for a conference. Maybe you have never experienced being caught up in unwanted sexual behaviors, and thank God for that. But that doesn't mean you aren't going to meet people who are. And this is absolutely an issue. I'm going to say statistically, this is an issue in your church. And it is definitely an issue in our county. So this conference is meant to equip people to help others. So the conference, let me just do one more click if I can. I lost my clickableness. Okay, there we go. So the conference is meant to equip people in the process of helping those who may be in the throes of struggling with unwanted sexual behavior. Jay Stringer will come and teach and train about that. To come alongside those who have been traumatized by the revelation that their partner has been betraying them in the most intimate of ways. And so Ashley Jameson is going to come and do training and help in that area. And then also for parents and grandparents and youth workers who want to understand how to help youth avoid and escape unwanted sexual behaviors. Heather Cole will talk about that, and she is going to come from the perspective of how is the adolescent brain, how does it work, how does it get stuck in these things, and how can we come alongside and help redirect. So there's a lot of, I guess, information there. If you're interested in that conference, for seniors and students, it's about $35, and then it's $85 for others. And then you can buy video on top of that where you get to watch the workshops that you didn't go see or whatever. So just so you know, that's where it is. If you're interested, at the booth at the back, you can just maybe click the QR code there and it'll bring you to the website and you can go for that. But I want to pray quickly for you, and then I'll let whoever's next come on up. So thank you, Lord, for loving us and for giving us the Lord Jesus Christ. You came as a way to break the barrier between us and you so that we can be present with you. And unfortunately, we continue to be absent from you, Lord, and help us to choose another way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.